Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Thursday, everybody. Sean Campbell, Adam Harahawk here, your local alternative solid state radio. Glad to have you on board. And really, I think we've kind of hit a wall about the whole Lions thing. Like, we'll get into tomorrow because we do have a game coming up this weekend. We'll talk a little bit of Michigan tomorrow, but honestly, I kind of need a break from it. I don't know about you.
That we do. I mean, this is a good situation to be in. I like this situation as opposed to the last couple of seasons with our college teams and the Lions. At this point, a lot of times I was like, okay, well, let's look forward to the draft.
No, it's a great situation to be in, but I don't know how many more ways we can relitigate the Dallas screw job, man.
It's done. It's over with. We move on. But I tell you what, like you said, Dallas and Detroit meet each other in the playoffs. Five cameras are going to be on every ref on the field.
Well, they should be. Like, put them under the biggest microscope possible because you're going to have a lot of pissed off fans if something like that affects the outcome of that game.
Absolutely.
Like, you just kind of know going in that that's how it's going to be, and like, it's one of the reasons I'm really okay with the fact that this likely means a rematch at Jerry World is because, you know, you're now looking at, there's gonna be a lot of scrutiny there, and the NFL's gonna be watching. Like, you know that same officiating crew is not gonna be there. Apparently they're getting bounced from the playoffs or some such thing.
I kept hearing they were being demoted.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what does that mean? They're like, officiating a flag football game in Wisconsin somewhere?
Yeah, you know, I don't think I want to put them in charge of anything that high stakes, though.
It's a pickup two-hand touch game. Mr. Lowry's barbecue on 4th of July.
There's far too much riding on that to leave Brad Allen in charge of it.
There's a whole 2-4 of Budweiser on the stakes there. We can't put them in
You can't put that in jeopardy. No, of course not. No, why would you want to do that? But we do have a lot of stuff to get to today. Don't go anywhere. It is Happy Hour. Your local alternative is Solid State Radio. The Foo, your local alternative, Solid State Radio. What's going on? It is Happy Hour. He's Adam Harahawk. I'm Sean Cantwell. And this seems like another one of those stories that is just designed to basically pick on the poor Gen Z kids, but this is one I just simply do not understand.
Sure.
Apparently, Gen Z is experiencing anxiety when dining out at restaurants, a study has found. Up to 86% of Gen Z is impacted by what is called menu anxiety, compared to 67% of all respondents. British restaurant chain Prezzo surveyed over 2,000 people in Britain about their attitudes towards dining. The main source of anxiety when eating out is due to the cost of the meal, as well as other factors such as not being able to find something they like on the menu and regretting what they ordered. Nearly 40% of Gen Z and millennials also said they wouldn't go to a restaurant if they hadn't looked at the menu beforehand. This echoes Gen Z's attitudes towards their finances. In a study conducted by Bank of America, 73% were found to have made changes to their lifestyle and spending habits in order to deal with inflation, including cooking at home more frequently rather than dining out, spending less on clothes, and limiting grocery purchases to essentials. Now, all that said, I mean, it sounds like they're kind of giving Gen Z a raw deal here. I mean, I feel like most people probably aren't going to a restaurant if they haven't looked at the... I don't feel the fact that they wouldn't go to a restaurant if they hadn't looked at the menu beforehand is that weird of a thing, or the anxiety about, like, how much the meal costs. Like, some of us are kind of broke asses. Yeah. Well, I get it.
Yeah, the whole idea of, especially when you talk to baby boomers, and to a certain extent, Gen X, seeing the menu online beforehand is still a relatively new concept. I mean, it's a great concept. Everybody needs to grasp a hold so that you're not surprised or you have to ask questions. Do you have this? Do you have that? And, you know, you could have your work done before you get to the restaurant.
Right. I'm very much big on that. Like, I always, like, peruse the menu of a new place before we head out there because you don't want to get caught in that situation. There's nothing here that sounds good.
But see, like, you and Rachel, you are the restaurant's favorite friend because you see a restaurant not just as a place to eat or hang out. You look at it as an adventure. So you are going to you look at a restaurant very much like some people would look at it, like a theme park. You do your research. You go in there. They're there for a good time. You go there with a positive attitude. Not a lot of people are like you, unfortunately. And I think everybody, regardless of generation, suffers from some element of anxiety when it comes to the restaurants. We hear complaints all the time about restaurants in every faction. It's too loud. There's too many kids running around. The restaurant, the menu is not big enough. It's too big. It's too expensive. The server, you know, so many things, and that's all set off by anxiety.
Right. Well, I mean, we're going in usually looking for, like, when I start looking at these places online, because we also do an exhaustive amount of, like, research, like, all these, all the lists and things, like, MLive's notorious for these, the best, you know, whatever food in county or whatever, like, yep. We go in knowing this place is known for this, they're, like, they're consistently rated the best at this, this is what we should get, kind of thing.
Doesn't that make the experience more fun?
Kind of, yeah. Absolutely, yep, yeah. It does.
So, yeah, I mean, I think more people should look at it that way.
I mean, it certainly led us to some quite fantastic restaurant choices over the years.
Well, not to get on a tangent, but have you ever been disappointed by a place? Oh, they were supposedly known by their Philly cheesesteak, and we got there, and it was just meh.
It's happened a few times. It's very, very rare, thankfully. Like, what happens more often than not is we find some place that's, like, kind of off the beaten path. Like, okay, that's the place with the big name. But this is where, like, the locals go and they do it better.
Yeah.
Actually, probably the best case of what you're describing, though, there was a certain wing place that invented the buffalo wing, supposedly.
Sure.
They opened a location in Michigan, and we went and tried it. Like, we've got better wings, like, within, like, 5-10 miles of here. Like, I'm not going to out the place, but
sure.
Put two and two together, people. like, we weren't overly impressed, like... Hopefully the original, like the actual original location is better than this, because if not, then I don't see what all the hype is about. Like, you've been, like, far surpassed by everybody else. Hate to tell you. That's the one that comes to my mind.
Well, I mean, just back to the original story, the whole anxiety thing. First of all, people are looking at Gen Z, and I don't know what the next generation is called yet. I don't know if they call it the name.
I don't know if they exist yet.
The TikTok generation or whatever.
Isn't Gen Z the TikTok generation?
No, Gen Z is going to be the ones that are from 25 to, or like 29 to 20. I'm talking about my stepkids' age. 11, 14, 12.
Is that already too young for Gen Z?
Jeez, yep, I think so.
Time flies, man.
But, you know, we're going to see these generations... That they just have.
Gen Z is 11 to 26, so your stepkids are all firmly Gen Z.
Okay, well we're about to see a lot, and I was talking to Dorothy about this in regards to hiring practices. And we're watching a lot of kids who they had a couple years of their formative years taken away from them because of the pandemic.
Yeah,
you see a lot. Like I saw one person post a meme on there. He's like, "We're all worried about homeschool kids being weird. Well, look at all the public school kids." I was like, "Well, those public school kids for a while there." We're homeschooled. And then when they come back, they had to wear masks, and they had to have dividers, and they watched people, you know, I'm not going to get all that whole thing, but what I'm saying is you're going to see the Gen Z people suffer from a lot of anxiety and be more vocal about it. Not that Gen X, as much as we think that we're a bunch of badasses, that we're not, you know,
because we don't care about anything ever.
Yeah, we're not impervious to stresses. Of course we are. But just Gen Z, they're like, hey, you know what? I'm stressed out by this, and you can laugh at me if you want, but here it is. They lay all the cards on the table, and, you know, I applaud them for that. But as far as restaurant anxiety, I think this article is kind of going after some low-hanging fruit as opposed to just ragging on it. Everybody's got restaurant anxiety, every generation.
Now, there is this, though.
Sure.
This restaurant study also found a third of Gen Zers ask other people to order at restaurants because of their menu anxiety. Quote, "They're digital natives, but between COVID and other factors, they've missed out on important in-person social skills. Because so many Gen Zers are anxious and have trouble in non-digital social spaces, even activities as simple as ordering food sometimes become things to be avoided." Really?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, I can't.
There's a lot of... We're starting to have kids, the kids order pizza and stuff like that because they don't have those skills. I mean, they can communicate through text, they can communicate through this and that, but one-on-one, and it's not just them, again, it's all, but the younger part of the millennials and the Gen Zs, they'd have, sometimes they have a problem ordering at restaurants, but I mean, again, I don't want to just be bagging on one or two different generations, because everybody has that thing. You know, I dated people who were like, look, I'm going to tell you what I want. You just communicate it to them. <You know? laughs> Dorothy is a lot like that. When it comes to ordering pizza and stuff like that, she's like, you handle it. You're good at it. You do it. Like, okay.
I mean, it really kind of gets split pretty even between me and Rachel. For as much social anxiety as Rachel has, that's not a thing that comes up as an issue, really.
Right.
Oddly enough. Like, of all the things, like, no, neither one of us have any problem going and ordering food at any time ever, really.
I mean,
do we prefer doing it online now? I mean, there's a lot less margin for error on their part when you do it online. Because, I mean, okay, I'm clicking the box that says this. I have this product that says this. Like, there is no room for error. Like, I feel like you get things screwed up a lot less often.
See, I haven't done the whole online ordering, and I should give it a shot. I'm just thinking that I'm going to get to a pizza place, and I'm like, oh, man, sorry, dude, we forgot to check the computer. And your order's just sitting there in the hopper.
I haven't run into that. Like, I've seen places that do the online ordering option, a certain sub place that, like, but the problem is with there, I'd walk in, there'd be one dude doing everything and taking the online orders, and everything would be backed up all to hell.
Yeah.
Like, because these places just don't like to staff appropriately.
Yeah.
But also, like, there's a wing place over in Davison I've been frequenting a lot lately, and their only pickup, they don't have a dine-in option. So, like, I'll order online for that.
Sure.
And then it'll be ready usually by the time I get there.
That's probably the lifeblood for a place that doesn't have, like, sit-in or, you know, they probably rely on that a lot.
Yeah, and that's, I don't understand why that particular joint doesn't do. I mean, even, like, Wingstop has, like, some, like, small, like, dining, like, fast food dining room, but still, like, why these guys don't for a wing place? Because, I mean, you're taking those wings more than about 20 minutes, they're going to be not so hot by the time they get home.
No.
Yeah. They are good, though, I will say.
Exactly. Side note, ADHD theater.
Sure.
How come cars, I mean, you see some cars with an option to have, like, a little cooler that's plugged in and it stays cool for, like, when you go grocery shop. Wouldn't it be nice to have, like, something like, you know, a warmer? Especially in this day and age of takeout food.
A little compartment in your truck. A little insulated something or other, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that wouldn't be the worst idea.
There we go. There's our million. Delete that part for the broadcast. We're going to go to the patent office. We're going to make this happen. We're going to be millionaires.
You know, the couple engineers that we are. It's Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. Stick around. There's Destroy Boy's Shadow. I'm breaking down your local alternative Solid State Radio. What's going on? It is Happy Hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. And there is one sports-related thing that I feel like I have to discuss.
Sure.
Got to bring this up. Can someone just shut Aaron Rodgers the hell up?
Apparently he's not going to be a guest on the Jimmy Kimmel Show anytime soon.
No, not so much. ESPN remains mum on whether Aaron Rodgers will be removed from the Pat McAfee Show after his controversial remarks linking Jimmy Kimmel to Jeffrey Epstein. McAfee apologizes for the allegations but says Rodgers will continue as a guest despite the fact that Kimmel has now threatened legal action.
See, you know, I heard the comment from Rodgers. Was it off color? I guess you could make that argument, but it was clearly a joke. It wasn't like, oh, I'll bet you he's on that list. It was clearly a joke. A guy taking a swing at somebody who has been taking a swing at him. And anybody can go on YouTube and just check out a compilation of Jimmy Kimmel just tearing into Rodgers about not wearing masks and not taking the vaccination. And, you know, how his work with the Packers and, you know.
There's a difference, though, between a guy like making cracks at a dude for, like, oh, being an anti-vaxxer, sure, and being, you know, this and that and the other thing. Oh, and yeah, calling a guy, basically all but calling a guy a pedophile.
Yeah, there's a big difference there. The thing is one is a professional comedian and one is not. I mean, he's hardly a professional football player at this point.
That's also true.
He was taking a jab at him. Was it off color? Absolutely. Ill-timed? Absolutely. But, I mean, I don't know.
I feel like, honestly, too many people have really gotten too comfortable with calling other people pedophiles and not getting punched in the mouth for it.
There's a lot of people.
Like, I honestly truly believe
there's
that.
There's a lot of people that need punched in the mouth for various things. Being called Hitler, that's a big popular one.
Oh yeah. I know all about that one. Yeah, a certain county commissioner really is lucky. I'm a nicer guy now than I might have been like a long time ago.
That was so frustrating, especially when Obama was running for office. Everybody wanted to compare him to Hitler. They want to compare George W. Bush to Hitler.
Everyone I don't like is Hitler.
Yeah, I talked to my grandma who had to deal with Hitler. And the only time I really heard her swear. And she's like, he's not Hitler. Hitler was Hitler. I mean, once you have a $6 million person body count, come back and you can call somebody Hitler, but not until then. Not just because you don't like their politics. But yeah, there's that. There's accusing somebody of pedophilia. I mean, that's low. That is low.
Like, that's about the worst thing you can say about somebody. And honestly, people have gotten far too comfortable saying it and not facing real repercussions for it.
There are going to be a lot of repercussions because they're saying they're going to release the names that have visited Epstein's Island. Now, whether that implies that they're part of pedophilia or they just visited, I don't know, but you can,
it don't look good.
You can see the muck raking from here. And so far, they're like releasing a lot of names. And everybody's like, well, if Trump was on there, he would have already been leaked. Well, guess what? Trump's name was on there, but so was Bill Clinton's.
Right. And so far, no, like, they haven't, like, released the actual client names yet. Like, they released some documents today.
Yep.
But a few of them were, like, there were a few names in there, but not, like, necessarily anything that was...
A couple of billionaires, New Mexico governor who's since passed. I don't know. They got to be careful because when Corey Feldman was going to release that documentary movie about pedophilia in Hollywood, and he was going to name names, he was going to really spill the tea. All of a sudden, look what happened. COVID. I mean, everything shut down. Everything shut down. And now they're worried about releasing these names. If I may put my tinfoil hat on for just a moment, this part being brought to you by Reynolds Wrap. There's a lot of people saying, these billionaires are making these bunkers. What do they know that we don't know? Well, probably because they're going to be releasing these names, and the fit is going to hit the Shan.
Yeah, I don't know if those names ever actually come out. I mean, there has been a couple of hints and things, but like I think everyone's going to be disappointed by the actual documents that come out. Like,
oh, because like, there's going to be some names in there that are like, oh no, not you. Oh my God. Oh, well, I mean, what? What happens if Steve Eiserman's on there?
I don't think Steve Eiserman's nearly powerful, famous enough to have been hanging around with Epstein, man. Let's not even go there.
Yeah, maybe I should pump the brakes just a little.
Just a little.
Yeah.
Now, that said, back to the Aaron Rodgers thing for
Aaron
a moment.
Rodgers, yeah.
The Jets have to pull the plug on this McAfee thing, don't they? I mean, you can't keep letting this guy go out there and shoot off his mouth like in such a way. Like it's not good
for
the
brand. I'm sure they're already on it. I'm sure he's already... As soon as that broadcast was over, I got a text message from the Jets. I wonder what this is about.
Right. I can't possibly imagine.
Does Kimmel have a case? And first of all, Jimmy Kimmel is like one of my favorite current late night hosts. So I like him a lot.
I'm not a huge Kimmel fan. I mean, I'm not a fan of really any of them at this point. Like, yeah. I liked Colbert at one point. I'm not so much like on his stuff these days. Like, most of the late, like, Fallon's show I hate. I actively hate.
I didn't like Fallon on SNL. I didn't like Fallon on his own show. I just don't like Fallon. And I don't have anything against, it's not like, oh, Jimmy Fallon got hit by a truck today. I'm like, yay. No, it's not like that. But I don't like the boyish charm that he tries to exude. You're 50. That boyish charm doesn't work anymore. It hasn't worked in a while. You're a man, act like it. And he's a host of The Tonight Show. Hallowed ground. Jay Leno, Johnny Carson, Jack Parr. I mean, geez.
We just pretending Conan O'Brien doesn't exist, or?
Oh, kind of, because, I mean, Conan O'Brien is his own brand. He was actually too good for The Tonight Show.
That's also
true. What they were doing. So,
But no, as far as Kimmel goes, like...
Kimmel, I like Kimmel.
I liked him at one point. He used to do some pretty funny bits, and then it just turned all political all the time, and a lot of crying. A lot more crying than I really am comfortable with for my late night talk show host.
Point taken. There was a time there, I don't know if he still is, but point taken. There's a lot of times where he's just, well, I mean, there's a lot of sad things that happened. I mean, he had his kid that needed open heart surgery as a baby.
Yeah.
That'll mess with you.
Well, sure.
He had his Uncle Frank die, who was a big part of the show. You had COVID. You had some of his, like, when he was really busted up when Don Rickles died. And I got to tell you, I was busted up, too. But, I mean, the guy was in his 90s. What do you expect?
Right.
No, Rickles died? The airbag didn't go off or what? So, I don't know. It's... like, he takes so many jabs at other celebrities and everything else. A lot of those celebrities are like, haha, how do you like it? What do you think now? But, I mean, I still think Kimmel might have a case.
No, he absolutely does have a case. Like I said, there's a difference between, like, you can make a lot of jabs about a lot of things, but, I mean, implying that someone's a pedophile is...
That's not a good one.
No.
That's not a good
one. That's one that's going to get you sued into oblivion, and I imagine you win that case.
<We'll> see.
Unless it comes out that you actually are, in which case, then I guess you're screwed.
I can just imagine they're going to bring out the list for the Epstein Island list, and it's just going to be like the draft.
Right. Yeah, that's...
Or like the Oscars.
Just do a big old public presentation of it. Oh my God, that'd be amazing.
Epstein Island list being brought to you by Pepsi Cola. With going to our viewer poll, Tom Hanks gets 82%. Wow. Oh my gosh. Not Tom Hanks.
Right. Yeah, like I feel like if this list ever does actually come out, like so many people are going to be just so. On one hand, people are going to be disappointed that it doesn't have all the big salacious names that they were hoping for, or they're going to find it someone that they actually like. Like, no, why did it have to be you?
I think there's going to be a lot of doubters. If Trump comes out, the right-wingers will be like, that's not true. That didn't happen. And if, you know, Clinton comes out or Obama comes out, that didn't happen. Nobody's going to believe it.
I'm not going to be particularly inclined to believe it's Obama. Clinton, I could totally believe it.
Oh.
I don't think literally anyone will be surprised if his name's on that list.
Yeah, Trump and Clinton, they both, they're cut from the same cloth. They have a track record. But what happens, like, oh my God, not Pauly Shore. What? How do you afford a ticket?
Right?
And then I was like, oh no, looking down the list, Vern Troyer? Mini-me? Really? I mean, good for him, you know what? Good for him.
God.
No.
Here's Weezer at your local alternative.
Thank you. Save me.
Solid State Radio. Yellow card at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. What's going on? It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell.
You are.
And let's just go ahead and do the thing. As they say in hockey, you know, yada, 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 do that hockey or whatever. Wings play tonight.
Yeah, you know what? I might just pop in a DVD and watch that Game 7 between St. Louis and the Red Wings, but Eiserman.
St. Louis and Eiserman.
Yeah, St. Louis and Eiserman. It was just Eiserman. He scored the one goal. You know what goal I'm talking about. Yes, you
do.
At home, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But
yes,
I don't know. Right now, the Wings take on the Kings in L.A. tonight. Red Wings rocket an 18-16-4 record. Kings 29-5, and I have tomorrow off, so I have every intention of getting a power nap in and watching this game in its entirety. Cam Talbot, I didn't realize he was playing for the Kings, but I don't know.
I didn't realize he was still playing in the NHL.
Well, 14 wins. He's rocking a 2.1 goal against average.
Wow.
Todd McClellan is doing a great job. With the Kings. Or is he still the head coach? Or did he get the boot? Ever since the Wings left the Western Conference, LA Kings have kind of been off my radar, but...
Yeah, he is still there.
Okay. Yep.
He's still there. Kopitar is still there. I feel like he's been there for like 30 years at this point.
Oh, yeah. He'll be there. Yeah. And then he'll go to the front office. Who retired? Was it Dustin Brown? Is he gone?
I believe he is finally gone.
Gotcha.
He's got to be. Yeah, I don't see him anywhere anymore.
Well, I don't think we have any projected lineups, but right now, I mean,
nope.
They're both teams are 2-3 in their last five. The Kings just coming off of a shutout loss to the Maple Leafs, 3-0, and a loss to the Edmonton Oilers, 3-2, and the Vegas Golden Knights, again, 3-2. The Wings and the Kings both have a win on the San Jose Sharks, so we got that going for us, which is nice.
Well, yeah, I think the entire league has at least one win on the San Jose Sharks at this point.
Okay, I'm looking at league rankings here. Let's take just a moment here.
Okay.
In fact, Sean, in the league, in the NHL, mm-hmm. where do you think the Red Wings rank in goals for?
In goals for?
To make it easier for you, they have 136 goals on the season. Out of 1 through 32, where do you think they rank?
I'm going to guess like 10th?
Third.
Third? Really?
Third.
Okay.
Third. In assists, the Wings have 222. Now, out of 1 through 32, where do you think the Red Wings rank?
Fifth?
Sixth. Not bad. Goals against. Now, here's another. Goals against. Another story here.
I'm guessing number one.
No. Well, I mean, the less goals you let in, the higher your rank is.
Okay, so I'm guessing 32.
27th. You want to guess where the LA Kings are with 80 goals against?
Number one.
Yeah, number one.
Oh, this is going to be fun tonight.
One last one. Shooting percentage, 11.96 for the Wings. Where do you think they rank in the league?
I guess 20th.
Second.
Really?
Second in shooting percentage. Of course, they don't shoot the puck enough, so that's why they just... A lot of people are like, if you shot the puck more...
Okay, I guess that's fair.
Penalty kill, one last thing. Penalty kill percentage, 87% for the LA Kings. That is first in the league.
Wow.
So you're not getting too many power play goals on the Kings tonight.
That is...
So it's 5-on-5, boys. Come on.
Well, let's see if they can finally... Oh, this could be another one of those games where they're going to have to score at least 4 goals to win it. They still haven't won a game, I believe, with 3 or fewer goals scored.
You
this
have
evening.
That fact in a holster. You just can't wait to bring that
because
one out.
Because that's an insane stat, dude.
I know.
Like, you haven't won a game where you've scored less than 4 goals this year.
Yeah.
How is that possible?
It is very frustrating.
It's insanely frustrating. Like, even when you're actually getting a decent, just good enough offense, you're not doing. You're still losing games. Like your defense, your goaltending just can't get you in it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Were we talking about the Wings or the Pistons?
Yes. The answer you're looking for is yes, Adam.
The Pistons lost to Utah yesterday, and they scored. The Pistons scored 126 points and still lost. I mean, WTF, everybody.
That's insanity to me. But that's the Pistons for you. That's why I stopped watching a long time ago. Here's Letdown. Your local alternative is Solid State Radio.
Speaking of Letdown.
311 at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. What's going on? It is happy hour. And in yet another installment of service industry people have had enough of your BS. An investigation is underway after a group of 10 people were accused of trying to outsmart an Indiana restaurant's tipping policy with 2 employees allegedly getting pepper sprayed.
What?
So there are signs at this place called Wild Crab alerting customers that there is an automatic 18% gratuity added to parties of 6 or more.
This has been going on for 20, 30 years, but go on.
One of the managers said he was pepper sprayed. He said the group of 10 came in acting like they weren't together and sat in different sections, with each telling a host they were a party of 5. Before they were served, he said the customers were told an 18% gratuity would be added because the restaurant knew they were together. He said the group asked to speak to a manager, and he told them if they would not comply, they'd be asked to leave. Surveillance video shows the party leaving as an apparent altercation broke out. Someone in the group apparently pepper sprayed a manager as the group left. However, another manager was apparently pepper sprayed before that altercation.
All right. You know, at that point, are they really going to be that much of a stickler for it? I mean, okay, you found a way to buck the system, fine. All right, go ahead. But, I mean, to, like, really go, okay, we know you guys are all together. You just happen to know each other. Okay, we're linking you all together, and it's 18%. I don't know. But then to pepper spray them, I mean, that they pretty much made, am I the a-hole in the service industry? Yeah, definitely those people are.
I mean, you pepper sprayed the guy because because they wanted you to pay the automatic gratuity. That seems a bit BS.
Yep. I mean, a lot of
times we don't get paid enough to deal with getting pepper sprayed. This is ridiculous.
Nope. That's why I think the hostess station should carry pepper spray and carry a gun.
I'm fine with this. I should be able to. What was your? You talked about this years ago. That every service industry worker should be able to.
Every service industry in the state of Michigan should have a license issued to them January 1st of that year, and it'd be like a card you would have to submit, and you get to slap a customer. You get to fight one customer a year. I mean, you can't just start walloping on people. It can only be one. If you got a couple going after you, you got to decide which one, her or him.
Well, I imagine if you're a dude, you're probably not going after the her.
No.
That would not be cool.
No, it's, you know, there's going to be some social mores involved there. But yeah. I mean, yeah. Okay, so like the server, we're not together. Ha ha ha. She slaps Karen, knocks her fake nails right off of her hand, everything else. And then she has to, like, you know, the police come up and here's my ticket. Okay, you're done for the year. You realize that, right? Yep, I'll see you January 1st, bitch. But then what happens is, you know, this says this was on sale. I have a coupon. I know it's outdated, but I want you to take this. And you know, I'm going to raise a stink, but maybe I shouldn't because I don't know if this person has cashed in their ticket. And I don't want to get punched in the face.
Yeah, you really don't. You don't want to take that chance at that point. Like,
no one,
like you realize the person behind the bar could yet slap you. Like, you don't want to.
Listen, I'm going to tell you. Especially, let's just focus just on the alcohol establishment places. I'm not even talking like Applebee's. I'm talking bars.
Yeah.
You are not going to see too many people messing with bartenders and waitresses in that because they have been known to come across the bar and whoop the living you know what out of you. And also, you have a bunch of the regulars that will stick up for them.
Mm-hmm.
So there is, and why am I not going to be a jackass to somebody in a strange bar? Because I know there is a threat to my person if I do so. Why can't this happen at a Target?
I agree completely.
Yep. I think the Target person should be able to jump over that belt in the register, grab the little scanner gun with the cord on it, wrap around her neck, and say, your coupon is expired, bitch.
See, I was thinking more along the lines of, you know, those little dividers you put between your stuff on the belt.
Mm-hmm.
Take that thing and just start beating them, break it over their head.
You know what? Behind the scenes of a cash register, there's a lot of possible weapons. There's a lot of shelvings to be, you know. I mean, bring back the mace. I'm not talking about pepper spray. I'm talking about the chain with the ball with the spikes. Bring one of those back.
I like that idea, too. I mean, that...
Excuse me. Why is it taking me so long to get through, like, and just pick up this mace? You got a problem, bitch.
Yeah, you don't have to actually use it, but
sometimes you don't have to use it. You just have to just make have sure to it's it part there. Of the party.
Exactly.
Mace has entered the chat.
Exactly. It's really that simple sometimes. It is happy hour. It's Solid State Radio. Stick around. The 1975, your local alternative Solid State Radio, and just another example of just how just garbage people exist in the city of New York.
Like you need more examples?
You really don't, but yet I have one for you anyway. A man found himself badly beaten and stabbed after wishing four strangers on a Bronx subway a happy new year earlier this week.
The hell?
The 29-year-old was standing on the southbound D train platform of the 182nd Street station shortly before 9 p.m. when the group approached him. He said, Happy New Year, according to police. An argument ensued. It escalated. The suspects repeatedly punched the 29-year-old victim in the face and body. One pulled out a sharp object and stabbed the victim multiple times. The suspects ran off after the attack. Police released a surveillance image of them. The victim was taken to a hospital but is expected to survive.
Okay. We're getting his side of it. Nothing from the assailant's side of it. All I said was Happy New Year. And he could have been like, Happy New Year, you bunch of sluts. Happy New Year, you... And insert your favorite racial slur here. And, you know, wait, what'd you say?
Happy effing New Year,
Yeah. Happy New Year, it's the only thing you got looking forward to. You know, something like that. I don't buy it. Nobody just says... Four people all at the same time is like, hey, you know what? yeah, screw this guy for wishing us a happy new year. Are you trying to say that we should enjoy 2024? The nerve on you. The balls on you to say that I should have a good new... Let's stab
this guy. Don't tell me what to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe I don't want to have a happy new year.
First of all, you're trying to tell... Well, or maybe he's being completely legit and he was just wishing him a happy new year. But it's New York where, you know, they... To be rude to somebody is almost being polite. It's almost being a sign of respect.
It's kind of to be expected.
Yeah. I mean, to be nice to somebody is almost considered condescending. So maybe there is some weight to this. Hey, Happy New Year. What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? Standing there here and we're just trying to ride a subway and you're telling us Happy New Year. What are you saying about us? And right. The next thing you know, the sharp objects come out and they start punching and everything else. And they get slapped with a very large piece of pizza that has no toppings but very greasy.
Right. Before a giant rat just runs off with it.
A giant rat. Two giant rats just grabbed him by the collar, and he was dragged off. Never to be seen again.
These are just the things that happen in New York, apparently.
There's a billion stories in New York. This is just one of them.
And it's the only one that, at least on this day, involved giant rats dragging a guy off for having the audacity to wish someone a happy new year.
And the listener's like, no, wait a minute. He was in the hospital. They got a quote from him. Yeah, what a quote for the rat. No, listen to him out. He's got a good point.
I mean, that's fair, but...
Yeah, I mean, we're only
good
getting...
Good point, rat.
We're only getting... thanks, Splinter. We only got his side of it. It could have been like, hey, happy new year.
Yeah, we didn't
new
get
year.
The rat side of the story at all.
The rat side. No, and the four people, all of a sudden, all at the same time, decided, oh, man, we really hate this guy for saying Happy New Year. It sounds like he probably said, hey, Happy New Year, you degenerates. Or
Happy New Year while he's grabbing his balls at him as a gesture of defiance or whatever.
Happy New Year. Here's your Happy New Year.
I
right
got
here.
You Happy yeah. New Year right
yeah.
here.
These balls just dropped. Go ahead. So, yeah.
I mean, that's the story, at least, that the police are saying it happened. Like, I don't know.
All I know is anybody who's ever been to a big city knows you don't really strike up a bunch of unless it's a concert and everybody's there for the same reason. But I mean, just a stranger on the street, you don't strike
Let's
up
a conversation, with somebody on the subway. Right. Like,
no,
why?
No, it's
who does
subways,
this?
Everybody's looking down. You're paying. If you strike up a conversation on a subway, people think that you're trying to sell them something, you're on drugs, or you're trying to rob them.
Or you're trying to sell them drugs before you rob them.
And you're also trying to give them religious pamphlets.
Yeah, that's always a possibility,
sure,
too.
Sure.
And you just don't do that. Not like it is here. Like that's for damn sure.
Exactly.
Here's Rival Sons. It's your local alternative solid state radio. Sleep Token at your local alternative solid state radio. What's going on? It is happy hour. He's Adam Hairhawk. I'm Sean Cantwell. And
hi, Sean.
Obviously, neither of us have had to deal with the dating scene for a good long time now.
And no, and
hopefully
thank
never will again.
God. Thank God. I mean, all the married guys out there are like, oh, man, if I was dating right now, I'd be pulling so much tail. No, you would not.
No.
I'm telling you what, you go into the dating pool, that's a very shallow, murky pool.
Yeah.
Folks.
Yeah, you may think all these women are interested in you, but the second you're actually single, they know, and they disappear.
If you really think, watch the movie Hall Pass. Funny movie anyway, but check it out. You'll understand. But I digress. Sean, please.
But apparently, it's even harder if you're a Gen Zer these days. As
here we go.
Literally anything, apparently, is an excuse to not keep seeing somebody. Mama's boys wearing no-show socks and practicing golf swings. Albeit small, these ick-inducing behaviors could secure a one-way ticket to Splitsville. While single Gen Z women have flocked to TikTok, of course, to detail their many icks, that is to say, cringeworthy traits that become an immediate irreversible turnoff, experts are warning that ending relationships over such small yet bothersome quirks could be sabotaging their pursuit of Mr. Right.
Yeah, they're being very overjudgmental about certain things. I mean, first of all, I never really dated somebody because I'm like, oh, I like you. Let's date. It's you kind of get to know them. You get to know them at school, in the workplace, in social settings. Because, I mean, you can find somebody attractive, yes. But a lot of times, it's getting to know them personally. There's a couple people that I have dated and have relationships with that I didn't really think of them as attractive until I started to get to know them. But in this case where they're going, somebody's getting a DM, somebody slid into their DMs. Hey, beautiful, how you doing? And they go and they look at their social media pages. Not them personally, not in a social interaction. They're basically their highlight reel and judging them strictly by their Instagram and Facebook.
Right. It does seem like that. Apparently, there was another video that was on TikTok put out with the young women revealing their icks, so to speak. I hate it already. I hate the word already. Can we add that to the list of banned words? But there's one clip that shows a young man putting away groceries and small no-show socks while walking around the apartment. Many of the responses to the video compared the man's feet to those of a ballerina. It seems feet are a general ick for some women, as another viral video shows a husband carefully making his way down the wooden steps of a bunk bed while barefoot. The video showed from the bottom bunk only shows the man's legs and feet attempting to land gracefully on each step. New ick unlocked, the wife cashed in the video. My husband getting down from the top bunk. Wait for the toe at the end. Like,
wait for the end. It's a 10-second video, but I know you're gonna piece out right around second three.
Yeah. I don't get either one of those, but okay.
Yeah.
Another one. 1 week in marriage, having doubts. The clip reveals a young man using his foot to scroll through movies on an airplane touchscreen display while casually sipping champagne.
Okay,
while reclining
that's wrong.
Yeah. I will give that one.
That is wrong. Fix him with a parachute and launch him off. That's disgusting.
No, absolutely. Another one. Showing your boyfriend struggling to remain upright while wearing bright orange ice skates. As he helplessly flails his arms, the man eventually retains his balance after grabbing onto a small statue of a penguin. Your sign not to go ice skating with your boyfriend.
Hey, a lot of people would consider that to be endearing. Here he is trying something new with you. And, yeah, a lot of people, I mean, you see somebody who is typically proficient in, like, car repair, carpentry or something like that. You put some skates on him and he doesn't know what to do. A lot of people find that endearing.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. I'm okay at skating. Like, I can skate fine usually when you get me out on the ice. It's been a few years and, like, so my ankles are probably just going to be completely just
crash, crash, crash. Crunch,
that's
crunch.
The problem. I can skate. I just can't stop.
Yeah. I used to be able to roller skate. I took roller skating lessons. Never learned how to stop.
Yeah, nor did I.
I can shoot the duck. I can skate backwards. I can't stop.
Yeah, stopping is just one thing I cannot do. Other clips have women appalled men engaged in unorthodox approaches to everyday activities. One showed a man slapping up a plate of macaroni and cheese with his tongue, while another revealed a man with his legs tucked together as he attempted to balance a plate of food while surfing the web on his phone. So I assume like sitting in, like, on his couch or whatever. Like, I don't get.
So these are all things that
turn women off.
These are deal breakers. Okay, that's fine. You know what, women, we have those for you too.
The greatest apparently came from a man in the fetal position on the couch, sprawled along his mom's legs. The mother rubs her son's back and neck as he lays comfortably. Quote: "My grown 6'3" husband cuddling his mommy." The wife wrote in the video caption.
Hey, you know what? We don't know how long he's going to have his mommy. Shut up.
That is weird, though.
It is weird. It is weird, but I mean, what does he do for a living? What kind of why is he going to his mother for this kind of comfort? Is this something that you should be doing? I mean, let's really think inward here, sweetheart.
I mean, perhaps, but I mean, it still doesn't make it any less weird, man. Other ones,
oh, I would freak my mother out if she's sitting there and I put my head in her lap.
Yeah, and same, and I would not
be all pepper spray and screaming.
Others reveal their biggest turnoffs for men who bend at the waist instead of crouching down to tie their shoes, and practicing their golf swing, quote, out of nowhere.
Okay, that's weird. That is, I mean, I used to like get really frustrated when the NBA was like really huge.
The basketball.
When the basketball was happening, when all those people like Michael Jordan, I would see kids dressed like a game could break out at any moment.
Yeah.
And they would sit there and jump and like they were shooting a basket. And I would ask them, did you make it? yeah. No, you bounce it off the rim. Keep practicing. 40 laps.
Yeah, and that's certainly a weird thing. Like, I feel like the practicing the golf swing, like, is a popular thing among a certain, usually older, usually rich, usually white, almost, like, 99% of the time white. Like,
I see where you're going with this, but golf has, there's a lot more people than just what you're thinking.
Like, it's always, like, the preppy, like, the one I refer to affectionately as the golf bros.
The golf bros. Okay, yeah.
These are, like, guys who, like, still act like they're in college, still try and drink like they're in a frat house, and, like, have their weekly golf league. They, you know, they come in with their polo shirts and khaki shorts and like
Dockers and
always.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Like, there is a stereotype I picture when I say golf bro.
Oh yeah. And I'm picturing it too. All pastels.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Usually like a baby blue or something of that sort, or occasionally salmon pink, because, you know, why the hell not?
Usually salmon pink. It's not pink.
It's salmon.
It's salmon. But yeah, yeah. If you're really trying to improve your golf game, you're watching videos, you're talking to people, and they're talking about different technique, and a lot of people will sit there and practice it. Does it look stupid? Absolutely.
Yeah.
100%. But a lot of times it's getting your muscles in memory of what's going on so you can hit the ball. But all I know is I've been golfing 2 or 3 times. Drew was part of at least one of them that I can remember. And it was.
Do you actually remember any of them?
I remember the first 8 holes.
That's about what I'd expect from golfing with Drew.
it's an 18 hole course. Is it really? Really? No kidding. I just know that the guy I was in a golf cart with T-boned another golf cart. I don't know if the statute of limitations is out.
I'm sure it is at this point.
But I mean, okay, so yeah, Gen Z people, they're going to learn like everybody else does. I'm going to not even put this on Gen Z. It's all the people from 15 to 25 who think, oh, I'm looking for Mr. or Miss Right. And they're going to be perfect. They're going to be exactly what I want. I'm going to get exactly out of my life what I want. And then as you progress, you're like, okay, maybe not. Maybe I have to realize that this person is a person. And I have to acknowledge that they have some foibles that I don't like. They have some bad habits that I need them to break. Or
like I
need to control them.
I keep seeing things like people who like literally like will like not want to date somebody or go out with them again because they have the wrong kind of phone.
Yeah.
If you don't have an iPhone, then F you. Like, okay, fine.
Oh, yeah.
You want the more expensive thing that it has. That has stuff that Samsung users had 6 months ago. Like, okay, fine.
Yeah, those.
If that's a thing you're willing to break up a relationship or, like, pass up on a relationship over, okay.
Yeah, those people are out there. When I was single for a little while there, I tried plenty of fish. I'm going to give all our listeners a chance to give me a good laugh for trying out plenty of fish. Please go ahead. Give me a second. Yeah, exactly. But I would, like, fish through. You'll excuse the pun.
As you do.
And there was one woman out there, and she says, if your height starts with 5 inches, don't even DM me. And I know that her weight started with a 3.
Wow.
But at the same time, I can't say, oh, well, you're too big, so I shouldn't date you, because then I'm fat shaming. But if she says, you know, if you're 5'6", 5'7", you're too short, she's being selective. Now we're opening up a whole other can of worms.
Yeah, it is.
But those are there. I will tell you what is in, and this was fantastic. Dorothy and I were cruising around Genesee Valley Mall, and we went through Spencer's and Hot Topic, and we went through Spencer's. And apparently, dads are in. Dads are in, ladies and gentlemen. I went through there. I saw some t-shirts for the ladies that says, "Oh, sorry, don't get excited. I'm just here for your dad." Or, or there was one t-shirt that says, "Oh, I didn't realize your dad was here. I guess I don't need underwear." I'm like, "Wow, all right."
See, there you go. There's hope for you. Yet? Question mark?
Oh no, I'm spoken for. I'm done. But I'm telling you what, though, there's been a big stigma in the world there where women men age gracefully. Men become
distinguished.
Very good word. But women become old and decrepit. And the old men want to date with the young women.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, I mean, is that unfair? 100%. That is definitely unfair.
But the old guys dating the young women also usually have money, and money ultimately trumps everything.
But guys, young guys, I'm talking to you. If you're 18, 25 to 30, date an older woman. I'm telling you, I have done it. I have done it, son. I have done it. There's nothing better than dating an older woman. And then after everything's all done, she gives you a six-pack of Heineken and some cookies and say, you have a good day now. I mean, did I just mow her lawn or did I mow her lawn?
On that note, let's hit a break. It's Happy Hour at Salt State Radio. Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. We get set to get the hell out of Dodge here on a Thursday afternoon and make way for an hour of local, original, whatever the hell it is that Adam does at 6 o'clock. Should be a good time all the way around on Sessions. We'll be back tomorrow afternoon at 3. Of course, we've got the picks to do tomorrow, the last week of the regular season of picks. Got unsolicited advice to do because, I mean, it wouldn't be us if we didn't spend a good chunk of tomorrow's show judging people in some capacity. We'll talk about the Lions as they go into their last regular season game against Minnesota. We'll probably talk a little bit about that national title game for Michigan as well, and we'll just make up the rest as we go along because that's just kind of what we do. Either way, Sessions is next. I'll be well. Talk to you tomorrow at 3. See ya!